Welcome, my friends, to another recording session of Freedom Law School's Weekly Freedom Hour. And tonight, I'm going to be sharing with you a important topic that keeps coming up. That did the 16th Amendment give Congress the power to create and impose the modern income tax that has been imposed on American people since 1913. Because the fact that 16th Amendment is what the government and the media make a big deal about it, that is why we need to cover this topic that comes up and answers the question about, well, 16th Amendment allowed the income tax that we have today. So, without a further wait, folks, we're going to pause and start the presentation formally.
All right, we will begin recording in 3, 2, 1.
Did the 16th... Okay.
I always forget the first recording gives me a prompt.
No problem.
All right, now we're ready. I'm going to start you off in 3, 2, 1.
Did the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution allow or permit the modern income tax system to be created that we have since 1913? I will answer that question for you definitively as a no. But hang in there because it's a very important topic that will need a little bit of your time for you to fully understand. I am Paymon, what the heck, but hold on a second. I don't see my picture on the screen. Can you do that? I don't see myself on there to see you. I'm back and forth. That helps me to see myself. Hold on, guys. We have to fix the technical issue. No problem. Yeah, we're going to start again, guys. That's the problem with doing things live. Like we got little stuff like that. I don't see myself in there. Yeah. Okay, guys, we got the problem fixed, and we should be able to start again momentarily. Ah, there we go.
Okay, accept this, and then we will give you a new count. All right, and I'm going to count you down in 3, 2, 1.
Did the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution allow or permit the current income tax system that has been operating in America since 1913 to exist? I'll answer that question for you definitively. Let's start again. Did the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that was supposedly ratified in 1913 create and permit the current income tax system in America where Americans have to file and pay federal income taxes? That is a topic I'm going to answer for you clearly and thoroughly tonight. I am Paymon Mutahede, the president of Freedom Law School, which I found in 1996. Let's start by going to the U.S. Constitution and see what the 16th Amendment itself says to begin with. Here at constitution.congress.gov, you find the copy of the Constitution, and we're going to go down to 16th Amendment, and it says that the Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. Huh. Now, I bet you if you're like me, you're thinking, well, it says, you know, they can lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived. That's good enough. Right there, that looks like it imposes the tax on the average American. And they say without apportionment, what the heck is that? And it said without regard to any census or enumeration. What the heck is that? What has that got to do with anything? Well, those are actually important things. We're going to come back because that's the key to this whole thing, okay? Let's go now, continue on to the U.S. Constitution under Article 1, Section 1. We go down here under Section 2, and we see, look at this. They're talking about taxes. Representatives and direct taxes shall be. There must be apportioned among the several states, which may be included in this union, according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding the whole number of free persons and blah, 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 Indians non-taxed and so forth, right? So the key here part is what? That direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. What does that mean? That means divided up, portioned. Divide up like a pie, a portion, cut up the pie of the pieces. So you divide up the tax and divide it up among the states that may be included within this union that at the time may exist, okay? Now, you go further, you see there's another part of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, that talks about another aspect of taxes. It says that the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties imposed, and excises to pay the debts and provide for common defense and general welfare of the United States. Okay? But all duties imposed and excises shall be uniform throughout the states. So this is, you know, what kind of tax is it? They're talking about duties imposed and excises. These are indirect taxes. Generally, tax on imports fit within this category. And the only requirement about this kind of taxes is that they must be uniform. If you import an item from Los Angeles port or New York, you pay the same rate of tax. That's what's called the indirect tax that the U.S. Constitution speaks about, okay? Now, this one, we're going to go down on this Section 9. Here's the key language here in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9. No capitation, which means head tax. Remember, capitate means like decapitate, means to take head off. Cap means head, okay? So capitation tax means head tax. We all have one head. So it's a head or per person tax. So no head tax, okay, basically, or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration here and before directed to be taken, okay? Enumeration what? Is what? Is counting, enumerate, to count. With the census, they count how many people live in each state, okay? So the plan was to have these taxes be divided up amongst the states, and the states were collected from the people. You know, New York, you collect this much. Delaware, this much. Rhode Island, this much. Virginia, this much. Okay? Now I'm going to show you that this is how it was. Let me show you. Here we go. One more time. Okay. I'm going to get to my other screen that will show you how we have this. Here we go. Okay. Here's a sample of a direct tax that I'll show you right now. This is the very first direct tax. That was laid on the top right. Look at that highlighted on the top right. July 14th, 1798 on the top right. Okay? And it says an act to lay and collect a direct tax within the United States. Right? And it says in the highlighted part, a direct tax of $2 million shall be and hereby is laid upon the United States and apportioned, here we go, apportioned to the states respectively in the manner following. New Hampshire, $77,705.36 and two mils. Yes, it used to be a thing. And 1 cent of a cent was a mil. The state of Massachusetts, $260,435.31 and two mils. Rhode Island, Connecticut, Vermont, New York, look at all the states of union. They had a specific amount of tax laid against the citizens of each state that the states were to collect. The bigger states like New York and Virginia were allotted more to collect to give the federal government. The smaller states like Delaware and Rhode Island collected less. That is what a direct tax is, folks, okay? Now you see the sample of what we're talking about in all this. Let's go back to our screen and see what happened in late 1800s, okay? There was a Supreme Court case called Pollock versus Farmers Loan and Trust Company. Okay, it was two of them in 1895. And in these cases, what the court did, what happened is that the Supreme Court struck down the income tax imposed by the law as an unapportioned direct tax, okay, because it was not apportioned among the people, among the states. In other words, the government taxed the profits of real estate, and the profits of the real estate, the court said, is a tax on the real estate. So it's a direct tax on real estate. But guess what? It was not divided up among the states in the way I've shown you. It was done by superseding that whole apportionment clause, but they ignored it. Okay? By the way, there were several direct taxes, some 1798 to 1916, they had done that several times. Okay? So they did that wrong. So what happened is they proposed the 16th Amendment, supposedly, to fix that. And that's what everybody out there thinks, that the decision was superseded in 1913 by the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which allows Congress to levy income taxes without apportioning them among the states. That's what the IRS, the federal government, claims, and I will show you that that claim is, prove it to you with Supreme Court cases. Okay, let's go on. The 16th Amendment, folks, was in the case of Boucher versus Union Pacific, challenged. Okay, that's right. This is a 1916 case. In a gobbledygook decision, the court upheld the validity of the law and the 16th Amendment that supposedly allowed it. Right? Well, guess what? Boucher is a very gobbledygook, complicated decision. I'm not going to read from it. I'm going to read instead for you. Three, four subsequent Supreme Court decisions that interpret and reaffirm and nicely summarize what the Boucher decision said about the 16th Amendment. Did it give Congress new taxing power, as is claimed, right? That it, you know, they claim that allows Congress to levy income taxes without apportioning them among the states? Well, we shall see. Let's now switch to Supreme Court cases that I have here. Here is Stanton versus Baltic Mining Company in 1916. Supreme Court case issued shortly after the Buchaber case. We go down within that case to page 113, and it says this. In the category of direct taxation, subject to apportionment by a consideration of the sources from which the income was derived, that is by testing the tax by not what it was, a tax on income, but by missing a theory deduced from the origin or source of the income tax. Okay, well, that part of it, folks, is a little bit more complex, and let's see if you have the relevant language that is above that. Here we go. This is the relevant part of the case, which I want to go over with you. By the previous ruling, the Buchaber case, it was settled that the provisions of the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution conferred no new power of taxation, but simply prohibited the previous complete and plenary power, plenary means complete, power of income taxation possessed by Congress from being taken out of the category of indirect taxation to which it inherently belonged, okay, and being placed in the category of direct taxation subject to apportionment. So anyhow, bottom line, I'm going to summarize it. The next cases will do the same. Direct taxes were not affected at all. They still got to be apportioned. The next cases say it even more clearly. Okay? Let's go to the case of Peck versus Lowe, a 1918 Supreme Court case. In a relevant part, here it is what it says. The 16th Amendment, although referred to in the argument, has no real bearing and may be put out of view. As pointed out in recent decisions like Buchaber, it does not extend the taxing power of Congress to new or accepted subjects. Okay? So it didn't give no power to Congress, but merely removes all occasion which otherwise might exist for an apportionment among the states of taxes, income, whether it be derived from one source or another. The key language is the first part. What does not extend the taxing power to new or accepted subjects? It gave Congress no new taxing powers. That's the key. All right, let's go to the next case of Taft versus Bowers of 1929. The relevant part of that case sums it up really nicely for everybody, okay? Under the former decision here, the settled doctrine. Folks, it's settled. They know it very clearly. Settled, right? What is it about taxes? The 16th Amendment confers no power upon Congress to define and tax as income without apportionment. Something which therefore could not have been properly regarded as income. See? It's still the apportionment clause is there. 16th Amendment did not give Congress the power to tax, define and tax as income without apportionment among the states, like I showed you. And even more recently, in 1988, in the case of South Carolina versus Baker, the court said the same thing in 1988. Here it is. And the Supreme Court says the legislative history shows that the sole purpose of the 16th Amendment was to remove the apportionment requirement for whichever incomes were otherwise taxable. The otherwise taxable was indirect taxes. Indirect taxes were excise and imposts. Yes, let me come back here and I will show that to you again. Okay, here it is, folks. that indirect taxes is duties and imposts and excise taxes that shall be uniform throughout the United States. Okay? So there was no need for this 16th Amendment. It basically did nothing. Indirect taxes could always be taxed. They all have to be only uniform. See? Uniform in the 50 states. Right? It's a direct taxes. The apportionment clause is still there. If you look at the U.S. Constitution, folks, right now, still, we have this part. No capitation or direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to census or enumeration and before directed to be taken. That is still there. And the other part that says that direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, still there. The 16th Amendment did not remove these requirements of laying direct taxes. That's what the Supreme Court directly said. So folks, this was done in 1913. The 16th Amendment was allegedly ratified. By the way, it wasn't ratified, and that's proved by Bill Benson in his website, thelawneverwas.com. You can check it out. But it doesn't matter. Because even if it was ratified, which it was not, it did not give Congress any powers. Anyways, according to 5 decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court, Bushaber, Stanton, Peck versus Lowe, Taft, and five cases, folks. So it's well known. So you're asking, well, Payman, how is the income tax legal? It must be illegal then. A lot of people say that Payman is illegal. It's unconstitutional. No, it is not. Perfectly legal the way the income tax law is written. It's written to apply to Washington, D.C., where the federal government has unlimited power to do Washington, D.C., and then territories that were added. And then they use the term United States that you think and the average person thinks means the 50 states of the union, but does not mean that. Okay, that's the trick. So I'm not going to spend too much time on that. I want to invite you to go to get that answer. Go to our website, livefreenow.org. Okay, by the way, before I go on, like our videos, folks, subscribe to our channel, and be sure to go on the bottom of our front page and sign up for our free, get your free freedom education package now, because we are going to be very soon probably kicked out of, social media, YouTube and Facebook. We're going to lose contact with you. You lose us. So fill out the information. Click on the gold bar and we will be in touch with you. You'll be in touch with us. We'll send you a free education package in mail to you for free, folks. And free lessons will be emailed to you as well. So on our front page, folks, on the very top of it, when you go there, I make it very simple for you all, folks, that there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. And this video right here that you see is the best introduction to the truth regarding the lawful nature of the federal income tax. Watch this 9-minute video. You click on this, okay? It'll come up, and then you go on the bottom right, click on the YouTube writing in the bottom right of the video. When you click on that YouTube at the bottom right, it'll come up right there. Now, here, this video is 9 minutes long. At the end, it puts you in a playlist of 5 more videos to see on the right-hand side. These 5 more videos are all about 5-6 minutes long. watch all the short videos, okay? Second one is very important because I make it very clear that only citizens and residents of Washington, D.C. must pay income tax and others who get money for performing the functions of federal public office. You'll see the proof just like here based upon Supreme Court decisions and the laws as published by the government on their own websites. Okay? So you definitely want to see a second one that on this list that gives you more proof that the United States in income tax law only includes Washington, D.C. Yes. Okay? There's a short version of that. At the bottom of this list is another favorite of mine, which is this one. The name of it is, since 1913, has the U.S. federal income tax law never applied to the 50 states of the Union? So these short videos are important at the end of any and all of them, folks. Okay? They will come up, as you see like this one, give you the choice to watch the longer, complete version of these videos on the top left. Top left is the long version. On the top right is the continuation of the shortlist videos. So, for example, the very first video I showed you, which is entitled, Who is Required to File IRS 1040 Forms and Pay U.S. Income Taxes? The full video is 54 minutes, not 9, 54 minutes. Why? Because now I can go everything through fully and completely for you, not to jam it up in just 9 minutes because people are busy and get distracted. Phone rings, they got to go, right? So watch the short videos and then the long videos. And the other ones have it also. You see the other one that has more proof that the United States of income tax laws only include Washington, D.C. Again, the full version of this one is only 35 minutes. And the last one, the detailed one, since 1913, has the U.S. federal income tax law never applied to the 50 states of the Union? Like you see right here, this is the first income tax law, states of the United States. Look at that, folks. Do not include any of the 50 states. The law defines that you can see here as any territory, Alaska, District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Philippines. That's the word state or United States. How do you like that? More goodies like that there is in these videos, all backed up by published laws by Congress and Supreme Court decisions, folks. So, you just took the red pill of truth. And your key to freedom is to continue on this journey that you started. You were meant to watch this video, my friend. And you were meant to live free. So continue on your discovery, truth for yourself, and you will be free. Not only you will be free, you're going to want to free others. And when you choose to free others, guess what? I'll be happy to pay you up to $4,500 cash or crypto for every American that you can share this empowering information to live free. Yes. You go to the front page of my website, folks. All more information is on there. Okay, we have our $70 million guarantee there, but below that is there. So, folks, take advantage of all this that is available to you. Start educating yourself. That is the key. As much as possible, I provide the information on our website for free. Yes, free as much as I can. On our website at livefreenow.org. Yes, you want to go under education materials tab. You want to go under income tax freedom. A lot is there. And our YouTube channel has a lot, which is all listed under Freedom Hour. Okay. And those of you who want support, you don't want to be alone, no problem. We got course and course packages like the Royal Freedom Package that will support and take care of any and all IRS issues for you with the $70 million guarantee. It's available for you if that is what you desire. So with that, folks, thank you. Taking your first steps to freedom. They say a journey of 1,000 steps starts with the first step. You've taken that journey, continue on this path, and you'll find freedom, and you share it with other Americans. Now let's have you be income tax free and to prosperity and love and freedom, and have America become a free, prosperous, loving nation once again. How long was it? 24. And Bob, we got to take a little part out that I messed up. You saw that? I read the wrong section of the court case. But the court case wasn't where it should have been. No problem. Yeah, guys. You know, these live presentations sometimes are a little bit imperfect. So you got to afterwards and correct them. In Stanton vs. Balti Mining Company, the first part that I read was wrong page. Yeah, that was the second part. The first page of that language is the part that's relevant. The other one was too complex, and just you can cut that part out. Okay. All right, folks, we got three people with questions, area code 828, 817, and 904. Should we do a short presentation on this, guys, before I take the questions? Can you guys hang in there? I'm going to do a short version on this thing, okay? Okay, let me do a short presentation on this, folks. And I'm not going to mention all these cases. I'm just going to mention a few of them only. yeah, I'm going to mention like Peck versus Lowe only and Tapp versus Bowers. Yeah, that will do that on the court cases. And, yeah, Sixth Amendment, okay? All right. All right. Shall we do it? Mm-hmm. Give me time, guys, because I want to make it short and sweet, and I'm not going to get to all the videos afterwards because there just simply is no time.
I'll give you a countdown in 3, 2.
Did the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which supposedly was ratified in 1913, permit the creation of the U.S. income tax system that requires Americans file and pay U.S. income taxes? I will answer that for you in this short video. Let's go to the 16th Amendment itself. The language of it says that Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on income and people from whatever source derived. Most of us think that's enough, but it's not, because it says without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. Well, why is that important, that language? Because the Constitution does say another part, that direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, which may be included within this union. Yes, they must be divided up like pieces of a pie, apportioned. Also, the Constitution says there's another thing called indirect taxes, but these indirect taxes or excise taxes, all it says about them that they shall be uniform throughout the United States. Direct taxes are also called head taxes or capitation taxes, and the Constitution says no capitation or head tax or tax per person or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the censor enumeration. Okay, that means they're going to do a census and count, enumerate how many people are living to do that. And folks, I'm going to show you a sample of a direct tax, which was laid in 1790, the first tax Congress did. Right here you see in 1798, and you see the direct tax of $2 million was laid in all these states, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. The amounts are listed there. Here are all these states to be collected. This is the way a direct tax is supposed to be done, a portion among the states, and it still is that way, folks, okay? So let's go back to where we were. And folks, a direct tax was struck down by the Supreme Court case of Pollock versus Farmers Loan and Trust Company. That was done in 1895, okay? And to fix this problem, the 16th Amendment was supposedly passed. And in a Bruschaber decision, folks, the Supreme Court said that no new taxing powers were given to Congress through the 16th Amendment. The requirements, enumeration, census, and apportionment are still in there. They were not removed, and Congress must still apportion, okay, the taxes among the several states, like I showed you. Several Supreme Court cases, you know, upheld this thing and said that by interpreting the Bruschaber case. Here's one of them, Peck versus Lowe. In a relevant part, it says, as pointed out in recent decisions, the Sixth Amendment does not extend the taxing power to new or accepted subjects. There it is. No new powers by 16th Amendment. Here's another case of Taft versus Bowers. As we go in there, it says it is a settled doctrine that the 16th Amendment confers no power upon Congress to define and tax of income without apportionment. The taxes still got to be apportioned, okay? So the same thing was said in this case of South Carolina versus, you know, Baker. Again, you see it right there. So bottom line, folks, in this thing is Congress was not given the power to lay direct taxes without apportionment because it was still there. The apportionment clause to divide among the states is still there. They have to remove it. In fact, the amendment on getting rid of the liquor, when they banned liquor by one amendment, the other amendment repealed the previous amendment. So this is a short thing of this video. What was the solution, folks? If you go to our website at livefreenow.org, folks, I'll tell you how the income tax was made. Go to livefreenow.org, folks, and watch this short video on the front page of our website. This will take you to other videos that will show you how the income tax was actually laid through deception. It does not apply to you. It applies to those who are citizens and residents of Washington, D.C., and those who perform the functions of federal public office. Unbelievable? Watch this video and you'll see the answer and you will be free, my friend. I found Freedom Moscow in 1996 to help you live free. But you now have to take the next step to free yourself and share this with others as well to let them be free. Okay. How long was it? Okay. I did not mention at the beginning that I found Freedom Moscow in 1916. I got 1996. I forget about that. So in case I forget, let me know. See, folks, people don't realize I've been doing this for a long, long time. You know, started 1992, 29 years ago. 30 years is coming up, okay? And what's that? Started get into this whole freedom movement and about the IRS fraud, income tax deception. And I started Freedom Law School 4 years later in 1996. I'm not in jail. I'm free. openly not having filed an income tax for over 30 years. No regular income tax filed, and I'm free. The IRS doesn't even try to put me in jail. I've had battles with them. I've beaten them. In fact, I've updated, just, and our students win also. Yes. Let me show you, folks. Those of you who are wondering, people are asking this question to this guy. Hey, Paymon, what's your track record? Well, here's our Freedom Law School victories. Here's Freedom Law School victories, beating the IRS, and student victories. You can open them up, and you see for yourself, for example, this is just a few of the victories I've had over the IRS. I have to list more. Put them on our website. You open these tabs up, click on them, and it all comes with documentation. Way back in 94, IRS looked at me for a year and a half as a potential fraudulent tax protester promoter. And after about this 18-month investigation, the IRS gave up on their baseless criminal investigation. Folks, so if I can do it without all this wonderful stuff on the internet, easily found, Freedom Law School education like this, it's so easy for you to be free and don't have to be a slave and pay income tax. So let's go to call from area code 828-817-904 with a prefix of 5 starting and then 904 with a prefix of 3 starting. So, folks, there's a lot of people with questions. Please get your question quickly so I can get to other people's questions. Don't make it wait too long, okay? Call from area – oh, by the way, I got to mention the credits. I forgot to tell you guys. Look, the pioneers, which I rely upon this stuff, the first guy I learned about income tax really good was a guy named Otto Skinner. That's his picture, okay, at the back of his last book. The biggest tax loop of all, okay? If he wrote this book after he wrote in 1986 and 87, his book, The Best Kept Secret, Taxpayer versus Non-Taxpayer, and then a year later in 87, If You Were the Defendant. So later on in 1997, he put them together in one book with more material. Was a friend of mine. Bless his soul. Thank you, Otto, for being a groundbreaking man and giving us this much education about this stuff. Because let me tell you, it wasn't for Otto Skinner, guess what? These two other guys who are around today would not have what they have. Okay? Cracking the Code by Pete Hendrickson, one of two best newest books on income tax by Pete Hendrickson. Guess what? Pete's book is based upon the research done by Otto Skinner. Yes, here's Otto's picture. And the other book by Dave Champion, another very good book out there. Okay, this is in large part also based on research of Otto Skinner, which they don't give him credit. But I give to Otto, to Pete Hendrickson, to Dave Champion, Herbert Schiff, everybody else that came before me, folks. It wasn't for these wonderful people who done all this, I couldn't build upon their successes. I've learned from all these guys. Yes, some of the stuff I share, not from Dave. Some of the stuff, I guess from Pete. It's sad that neither one of them wants to talk to me anymore because they did not finish the job. I did more research, and I found the answers. Now they don't want to talk to me. It's sad. So if you get them to open up their minds and work together like the founding fathers of America did to restore freedom, tell them I'll love them. And I want to work with them like the founding fathers. We all should work together to be free as an American people. So let's go now to the question. Caller from 828. All of you, first, give me your first name. Then how you heard about Freedom Law School. And your question, first name only, call from area code 828.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, this is William. My name is William.
And hard to hear about Freedom Law School, William.
I can't remember really. Maybe the internet or Facebook. I can't really remember.
Okay,
but
that's fine.
One thing about the 16th Amendment too that you didn't mention was that you have to define income. Income has to be defined, and it wasn't defined as a tax on individuals. It was defined as a corporate profit.
Hold on, look, William, you're right about that part. But here's the thing. There's a lot more I could have said. I could have also talked about the fact that the Sixth Amendment, for example, was not ratified.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of things, yeah.
But you're missing, William, people have an attention deficit in America. The average person watching
right.
the presentation, the average about 15 to 20 minutes. And they leave. They don't stay for the whole presentation
right.
I do. They cut off. They're not patient. So I got to make this presentation short. If I talk about everything, it'll be 2 hours long. So if you see a video 2 hours long, skip. I'm going to go to the next video. That's
well,
why.
I know what you mean.
I know what you mean, but... What's your question?
I've got a case with the DOR. The DOR has... I had a 1099 that I didn't fill out. The DOR is making an assessment for me.
What state?
I'm from North Carolina. North Carolina.
Stop. No lingo. Stop using lingo. Yeah, I know you're smart. Don't you have to prove me. Folks, DOR, Department of Revenue. He assumes you guys
right.
know that. I know you don't. Slow down and explain everything. So the Department of Revenue of the state of
Department of Revenue is sending me a
I'm sorry.
They're saying that they have a. They're saying they have a 10. Yeah, I'm from North Carolina. Department of Revenue has been sending me letters saying that they have a 1099 that I haven't filed, and they're going to make an assessment for me if I don't file it, which is illegal because they can't supplement.
Look, William, hold on. I got three people behind you. Let me help you. What is the date of the letter? What is the date of the letter they send you? And what is the heading title of the letter? Is it an assessment notice?
It's a deficiency notice.
What is the date of
it's
the
deficiency? It's a
deficiency.
It's about 5 days old. I have 30 days to respond.
Okay. You must ask for a hearing within 30 days.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And attach a copy of the letter. This is my request for hearing or appeal. You perfect it later. Send out by certified mail so you have proof of timely mailing and take it from there. I cannot give you a quick silver bullet answer on this call. I wish I could. I cannot.
Let me tell you one more thing. They're saying on that one, they're saying about 4,000 on the previous one. See, I'm almost done with the previous one. I've already been through this. I'm almost at an administrative hearing, but now they've sent me another one. And they've changed the judge in the administrative hearing and said that the judge was removed with good cause. They didn't tell me the cause. So this is another one. I've already been through it, and I'm almost to the administrative hearing, which is not a legal hearing, but.
Okay. You know that. Different taxes.
This is the
okay,
second
got
one. This is the second one.
Second one. Okay, got it. Okay, good.
So
okay, got it. So what's your question?
They're trying to intimidate me. They're trying to intimidate me right before I go to an administrative hearing. They're trying to say, well, here's another one. Here's another 1099. And the administrative hearing is only a couple months away. So I think they've got together with the administrative judge and changed
hearing. I need you to ask me a question. Okay, look, this is not to give a lecture.
Shit,
ask a question. I got people waiting for me to help them. Folks, the purpose of this question is to help people. Hold on, let me explain something. To help you for free, folks, I'm a busy man. I charge $600 an hour for my time because I'm very busy and very valued. The first hour,
that's fine.
I'm giving it to you for free. for free. But these people are waiting, William. Don't tell me your story. Ask your questions.
Okay.
I can help you.
Okay.
Get them.
I understand, but it's not a simple question. It takes more than a simple. It takes a little bit more than a, you know what I'm saying. I understand your position. You go ahead and do what you got to do. But if you want to talk to me later for free or something, that's fine. Because I'm poor, dude. I'm poor. I'm fighting this. I'm fighting this from a poor man's stance. I have no resources.
Okay. All right. How much you make a year?
The most I've ever made was $40,000 in 1 year, and that's the most.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. Why don't you – have you thought about leaving North Carolina, go to a free state income tax state like Florida, for example, so you don't have the state problem?
Yeah.
I'll be one question.
Yeah.
Suggest that. And then they can abide you. Then you can go pound sand. That'll be one quick, simple, easy solution I give you right now. Leave those of you who live in this communist state, source of states would have income tax, leave. Go to Florida, Texas, New Hampshire. Okay? In South Dakota, you know, these states. So you can do that. That's one option. Okay? If you're poor, you're poor no matter where you go. Might as well be poor in Florida with no state income tax. All right?
Exactly.
Quick answer. You got your quick answer. Don't worry about any of this stuff.
All right.
Say goodbye. Bye. Adios.
Yeah.
Okay?
All right.
Any other questions,
all right,
William?
Man. Well, do you want to talk to me outside of this? Can I talk to you?
Look, it's not that. Come on, man. Don't frame it that way. Do I want to talk to you? No, I hate you. I don't want to talk to you. Come on.
I'm not framing you. I'm being real.
It's my only option. Hey. I want to talk to everybody, but I cannot talk to everybody at the same time. I've limited my time. Call tomorrow. Talk to Benny. He'll try to help you a little bit more for free as my researcher. He'll give you some tips for free, okay? Let me get to other guys. You can help them. But I give you one good tip. You're low income in North Carolina. Same with Florida. Come to Central Florida. Be in Tampa, Orlando, or Cala Triangle. That is where the freedom flourishes. Not Miami, the armpit of Florida. Not down there, okay? Come down. We'll look. And so call Benny tomorrow. And I guess there's a need for workers in Florida. There's a shortage. So come out here. Might as well be poor here with no saving tax, okay? Or maybe do better even. All right, brother.
All right, man. Okay. Take it easy, man.
Thank you for your love. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you very much, William. Let's go to area code 817, caller. What is your first name, and how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
My name is Kevin Holiday, and I actually heard about you guys. I've actually been following the tax movement for a few years. So I jumped into knowing Dave Champion, and then I came across you and have been learning information from you as well.
Very. I'm curious, how did you get from Dave Champion to Freedom Law School?
Well, as far as the same, I'm covering the same information. So, The thing that I wanted to bring up, because I mentioned this over the chat on the YouTube channel, that I haven't seen you mention or even Dave Champion mention, is the legislative intent that President Taft brought towards the congressional record in 1909. I'm not sure if you're aware of that.
I am very well aware of that. In fact, I got the book. I got a book on that topic. Let me see. The book by, what's his name? His Idaho legislature. Oh, here it is. Hold on. Let me get it for you.
Okay.
The book on that is this. Okay. Constitutional Income Do You Have Any? Okay. By my friend Phil Hart. I know about that. It's a thick book. Okay. It's, let's see. Over 400 pages. Again, I could talk about all this stuff, but if I put the video on YouTube that's 2 hours or 4 hours long, Kevin, how are people going to read it, listen to it? Plus, it doesn't make a difference. as I will, you see my other videos, Kevin, they got around all that. What they did, which I cover in another video, they used the case of Downs versus Bidwell, which said that the government can tax, the federal government, between U.S. territories any way they want. Philippines, Puerto Rico were taken in 1895 from Spain. So taxing between Puerto Rico and Philippines was the same legally as a federal government taxing something from this corner of Washington, D.C. to go to the other corner of Washington, D.C. It's all within Washington, D.C. that the federal government can do whatever they want to do. And because it's within U.S. territory, the limitations on direct taxation, which are already tonight, do not apply. They use that loop to do the income tax. And I cover that in one of my other videos on a YouTube channel. So I can probably go to that and find this for you in a minute, but it's there. What other questions do you have, my friend?
No, that was the only thing that I just want to bring up, and I just want to say I'm a huge fan of yours, and I just want to speak on that front.
Thank you. Well, thank you for your good point you brought up, and thank you being someone who does your homework and really wants to know about these things, folks. Yes, I have all these books, all these other guys that came before Freedom Law School and did all this work. In fact, Phil Hart wrote this book in 2000. And then it was in 2005 last time, yes. Constitutionalincome.com is a website that he had. He was a state legislature. Okay, very good. Anything else, Kevin, I can help you with?
That's all. I appreciate your time tonight and hope you have a good one.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate your love and interest in freedom, my friend. Let's go to the call of America 904 that your prefix starts with the number 5. What is your first name and how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
Hi, Pam. My name is Carlos. I'm in Florida, Jacksonville. I heard about you through the Red Pill University. And I was getting their emails and I saw a link. I went to the site. Started seeing some of the videos, the short videos. I've gone through a couple of weeks now of a bit of a red pill rage of sorts, upset as hell in a way. So I'm kind of concerned that I might be going a little too fast for my own good because I recognize that I just got angry with a lot of what I heard and you explained. I got the Freedom Package, that initial mailing you do with the two CDs, and I've been listening to that as well. And now that I've been calmed down a bit and listened to some more, I started looking at my own situation and it being, you know, April 15th. And while I know they've delayed it and all, I know that if I'm going to do this, it's happening now for me. So one of those questions that I had for you is, unlike one of the other callers, I earn quite a bit of money. I also trade. I also do deals, and I'm looking to become a lot more active with putting real estate deals and things like that. And I saw how you explained where, you know, the use of banks, for instance, means you waive your rights to financial privacy. And, you know, we currently use Social Security numbers for almost every financial transaction we do. So as I look at that, you know, working with a broker of tax, you know, a stock exchange and commodities broker, as I do with my trading, working with banks, lending, the use of Social Security numbers. If you could, I know there's a direct question in there, but I'm just wondering if you could speak a little bit about, okay, how does that all come together with engaging in this process of truly claiming my freedom that's mine, which I've never done in all of my 53 years. So it's really, really upsetting to find out that this has always been here and I just never taught. So how does it work with interacting with these organizations?
Yeah. What do you mean by it all comes together?
Yeah.
I mean, The answer, basically, we have lost our government. It's no longer government of the people, by the people, for the people. You have the government by the international bankers, home, Chase, Citi, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, the New York Federal Reserve, has a beast. About the same time they passed the Federal Reserve scam, which they were sold as being, you know, to break up the money trust, the bankers trust, was a scam. It was actually privately owned. They also put the 16th Amendment to make it look like they could tax the rich people, but it gave Congress no new taxing powers, but instead they used deception to pass the tax to tax the average American in time. So it's all about freeing yourself, as you've seen on my presentations, by following the letter of the law as published on government's own websites. So that's why Freedom Law School, to show you on our website, we have these petitions to Congress, which are important to for everybody to send out. In fact, we've been so busy, we haven't had a chance to send it for all of our students that we want to do. So here we go. You see under income tax freedom, these letters to Congress are very important. Okay. For example, one of them of particular interest to you is free yourself from 1099 information reports. Commodity brokers, you know, stock brokers, real estate, they all want that patron surveillance number from you to, like you said, report you. But guess what? They should not be 1099 to you at all in the first place. So therefore, there's no need to give them a Satan surveillance number for this satanic fear-based system to control from the top. And that's the process I try to make it available as much as possible on our website and as a Royal Fear Package member. We do all that stuff for you. So be as smooth as possible for your journey to freedom that you're now in the process of moving forward. Any other questions?
So, we go and we send these letters out. Is this part of like what I think I've heard the term affidavit process? Is that what part of this is?
No.
The
process.
No, okay.
Here,
The
1099 one, for example. If you go to our website, see free yourself from 1099 information reports. Okay. So you send these letters to your congressman, okay, and ask them, look, I'm not publishing this whole 1099. If I'm wrong, let me know. No more 1099 snitch reports should be sent about you. No one should be even asking you for this. And then you send that to your commodity broker, stock broker, you know, whoever you're dealing with. You should not 1099 me at all, because you got to follow the law as written. It doesn't matter what your accountant says. It doesn't matter what XYZ legal guy you got. It must be wrong, because here's the law as published by the government. We got to all gotta go by that. His opinion doesn't matter. Let me educate him and have him correctly follow the law, the Internal Revenue Code, and Supreme Court decisions. But that's it. All follow the law, we'll all be happy.
And so I guess if I do this, that means I don't really get my accounts shut down. I don't lose my access to my bank or any of that kind of stuff. They just have to stop doing basically collecting this information and sending it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm just getting started with learning. So my learning curve is extremely large. So what does the next step look for me? I'll send in the application, right, and you get it and all of that. What does this really look like then? Because it's not going to be what I've been doing. So, but I don't know what it is I will be doing.
Well, that's one of the reasons why the Royal Freedom Package that you're interested in getting, which you obviously easily afford, it comes with unlimited consultation, okay? Because with that unlimited consultation, you know, any and all your concerns and issues you got will be handled for you at no charge. All consultation, letter writing, all IRS-related responses will be done for you. That's exactly one of the reasons why you get unlimited consultation. Because I don't talk to many people who do commodity stuff. Okay, well, you do. You will have to do something about that. I myself was a financial planner in my early 20s for 7 years. I know about commodities. I used to sell mutual funds. I was licensed as a securities back then. But so I'm familiar with these things. But most people that call me don't have that problem. Okay, no problem. We'll deal with it. Okay, so in that process of unlimited consultation, every one of these concerns that you have will be covered and handled.
All right. Thank you. Last question. What about my wife? We've filed together for a long time.
She's covered at the open charge.
Okay. Oh, cool. All right. Thank you. That was it. Just needed to hear it from you. Thank you.
No problem. You're most welcome, Carlos. Thank you for calling. We have next call from area code 904 with the 3 prefix, followed by call from area code 714. The call from area code 904 with the prefix of 3. What is your first name and how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
Hey, baby. My name's Ted. And just by chance, I ran across your videos on YouTube, and which a lot of it I've known, but it definitely has taught me a lot more. And the way that you put it together, it's pretty much common sense.
Thank you.
But my one question, and this is kind of
I forgot to announce to everybody, my fault. I got to let you all know, if you guys want to meet me in person, you guys want to be at this event at Red Pill Expo in North Dakota, or go to redpillexpo.com. Okay, let me bring it up. I'll be there, folks, in Mount Rushmore, Rapid City, South Dakota, June 5th through 6th, okay, at the Red Pill Expo. So come there, folks. You'll meet many other great Freedom speakers you want and need to hear from, folks. So that's the place to be, folks. You see a partial listing of the speakers that I'll be speaking at, folks. This is the place to be, okay, June 5th and 6th in South Dakota, the state that never had any of this corona hoax lockdowns at all. So we have a few tickets to Field Wall Street, which I get from us, available at a discount. So, but otherwise, you can register at the website. So with that, I hope to see you all there. Bring friends there to Red Pill Expo in South Dakota. I'm sorry, Ted. Please continue with your question.
All right, no problem. I'm glad that a lot of people are starting to, you know, Red Pill, because we need a lot of people to Red Pill. I mean, it's not only about taxes, but it's about everything in general.
Mm-hmm.
But my, well, like I said, my question is a little off topic. Under Article 6, Clause 2, I mean, from my understanding, what it says is that, you know, if there's a conflict of laws between a state law and a federal law, is it true that the federal law overrides the state law?
No, not necessarily. It depends if that area of law is within the state's sphere law, constitutional authority, or with the federal government. The Constitution was written as a compact agreement between the states who delegated small amount of powers to the federal government in immigration, money, bankruptcy, military defense, foreign relations, those few specific areas. Everything else is within the state's powers. So, for example, traffic laws, divorce laws, you know, local road building, police, it's all local, state law. But immigration, money, all that stuff was within federal, depending on which area of law you're talking about.
Well, I was particularly talking about one-party consent versus two-party consent.
Consent for what?
Yeah, I mean, for like, you know, recording or, you know, phone calls, stuff like that.
That's state. Federal government doesn't do anything about that. State law. Some states like Florida.
That is all pertaining to state law.
State law. Hmm?
Okay. I've been researching it, and I was under the assumption that federal law would override if there was a conflicting law.
Nope.
That you know, the federal law was like the law of the land, so to speak.
No.
So
the federal constitution,
okay, well,
law, the federal constitution protects states from intrusion into their territory, into the laws by the federal government. The federal government is only an agent of the states. It's the 51st government in service of the 50 states that created it. And we,
okay,
the people,
okay,
are the masters, owners of the states. It's people, state, the federal government, they're, of course, with their public school system, the bad education they give us, they try to make it appear the other way around. The federal government, the states, and then the people. But now you got your herd straight backwards. Correctly, my friend. Okay?
Yeah. So basically, the Constitution of the state overrides federal constitution, depending on the topic.
Depends on what area of law it is, what area of law.
Yeah,
for example,
yeah, the area of law.
Federal law, federal government rules on that. That's why the immigration at the border with Mexico, state of Texas, is just, you know, being run over, and they cannot do nothing about it because it's all by given to the federal government. Texas cannot protect its borders.
Because it's the federal.
They gave that power up to the federal government with the Constitution. Okay?
Yeah.
But the
traffic laws,
laws are completely within the control of the state of Texas, for example. Okay?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your time and answering the question. Yes.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate you calling us. Call for Miracle 714, good old Orange County, from the International Communist Republic of Mexicana, where I used to teach there, Freedom Law School, way back in mid-1990s. And so I moved out of that Communist Republic. Sorry, you're still stuck there in Orange County. What's your name, my friend, and what city in Orange County are you from? I'm curious. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
Thank you for taking my call. My name is Guy, and I'm calling from South Orange County, Dana Point area.
Yep.
And I first heard about Freedom Law School back, I think it was 2002. A friend and I went to one of your events at the DoubleTree Hotel in Irvine, California. And I had the pleasure and the honor of shaking your hand, and also Joseph Bannister, who was there.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about a red pill. You really had an impact on me. Let's see. At the time, I was investigating you, your school, and the information, because I had the IRS was pursuing me hot and heavy and making my life basically a living hell. And they were garnishing my wages. I was levied, and basically they turned my life upside down. And quite honestly, I was frightened. You know, they scared the heck out of me. You know, they're basically, it's like trying to reason with a 800-pound gorilla. You know, they seem like they're all powerful and a bunch of criminals, and they have no compunction about abusing us. So, I fought them for a while. I had the help of a consumer advocate who was helping me with this straw man type argument and trying to discharge the debt, et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't really understand it fully, but they just kept rejecting me and telling me that I was my arguments were frivolous and that I was a tax protester and that they were going to continue taking my money and seizing my account. So, and then with what happened to people like Wesley Snipes and poor Irwin Schiff, who was a hero in my book, I just ended up buckling and doing an offer and compromise and paying them their blood money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened back then. Now I've been filing ever since, and in 2015 they audited me and assessed me, and I'm in a payment plan for that, and they audited me and assessed me again for 2018, and I'm in the process of requesting a payment plan for that, and just feeling kind of hopeless.
Well, the best I can help you is in a private consultation. I need to look at your paperwork of your case, see what's going on, and based upon the full analysis of your situation, where I can give you a course of action for you to win. So you on our website, you can see go to livefreenow.org. Here it is. So you click on Freedom Hour. I'm sorry, get quick help. Sorry, on your get quick help on the top of our page, click on that, and it tells you how you can send for a 1-month private consultation and get your paperwork, get your funds to us, cash or crypto. Now we'll go over everything in full detail and come up with a strategy that works for your situation and help you at the same time get out of the slavery system this time instead of the baseless straw man argument, which sadly got you in trouble. And folks, this is what happened with patriot mythology. There's so much out there, people don't know better. They follow these baseless legal theories. That gets them in trouble. As hearing what's going on here, what happened to the guy. But we're gonna do it for a guy now correctly. I'm going to help you get out of the system properly and safely, my friend. So send for 1 month consultation right the, away, and we'll get on the phone.
So the straw man argument is baseless?
Absolutely. There's a lot of these basic arguments out there. Straw man, redemption, expatriation, repatriation, you name it, all capital letters, the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, Bankruptcy United States, HR 192, not using zip code on your mail, Admiralty Oldfield flag versus statutory, court, common law courts, these, statutory courts versus common law courts, sui juris, Buck Act, I'm a sovereign, the all nonsense. The revocation of election is another one. They come back. I've seen people for the last 28 years use these basic arguments, and like you lose. I tell people, look, before you believe in a flying pig or chicken that gives milk, ask to see it. But, it's these people sell it to you and you believe it like it's religion. I haven't filed income tax for over 30 years. They know about it very well. How come they're not trying to put me in jail? Right? So let's get together, my friend, and I'll help you. I promise you, okay? I'll help you out. You'll be much happier once again.
Thank you. Can I ask about Florida? You mentioned that Miami is the armpit. We're thinking about moving to Florida. Do you have any suggestions?
Mm-hmm. Yes. North of Tampa.
North
I picked
of
this
Tampa.
Area in Hernando County. Depending on Tampa area suburbs, country suburb, north or northwest, depending what you want, I really like it. Orlando becomes a heat sink, hot. Ocala is a heat sink, hot. Tampa is by the coast, and get some breezes much cooler. And Tampa, you don't want to be in Tampa itself. You want to be in suburbs of Tampa. I'm in a country suburb. So it depends on your situation. And if you choose to become a Royal Freedom Package member, I'd be happy to help you with that process also and help you find a place. But you better move soon because real estate is getting harder to find. The housing, there's a housing shortage out here now because everybody's coming to Florida. Florida is the new California like it was in the first two-thirds of 20th century. California was a place to go to. Then became Austin, California. So come to Florida as soon as you can.
Yes, my big motivation is DeSantis is one of two governors who's showing any morals and ethics and courage, and that's my big driver. But I just want to close by saying thank you, sir, for your years of encouragement and courageousness. You're an inspiration, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for your love. And let me tell you some more about Florida. Florida, of all the states in America, is one of the eight states with no state income tax. So as opposed to our friend from South Carolina, where the Department of Revenue was on top of William, no such problem at all here. And it's overall consistently the lowest tax state in the country. Average sales tax, average property tax, which with the low property prices makes low property tax. Okay. And it's because of all that, overall, the freest state in the whole USA. People come from Northeast, from New York, other places to get away from those sources of republics. They're not buying all the government, big government needs, they try to say. But Miami's become an art pit. Stay away from the cities, go out the countries, suburbs. You'll find a lot more freedom. In Hernando County, where I'm at, we didn't have all these lockdowns like we had in Tampa. Even back then when we had it in Tampa, not here. I never walked into Walmart or grocery store in Hernando County where I live, ever put on a mask. Never.
Did you say Hernando County?
Hernando County. Mm-hmm. Look at Hernando County, where that's where I am at. Hernando County, Florida. Housing out here. I think you'll like it.
Okay. Thank you very much, and as I said, God bless you.
You're welcome, my friend. My pleasure. Okay, we have no more questions tonight, guys, on the Blog Talk Radio. Okay. Let's put the call number on the screen, folks. You know, anybody with any questions, I'm happy to answer it, folks. Like I said, folks, I am real busy, you know, and because of the amount of my time, I have to allocate it by charging a lot. Charge more than $600 now, but I don't because I want to make it affordable. That's why the first hour is less. But now every Thursday night, I'm yours, the live callers, for free. So if you have a question, now is the time to call. The number's on your screen, 657-383-1755. Push 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll take your question and answer you any freedom question you got, no problem. Area code 970, caller, okay. What is your first name? Call from area code 970. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School? Speak up, my friend. I can barely hear you. Speak, get close to the microphone. I can't hear you.
Great freedom speakers you want.
Oh, God, I don't think it's there. Are you there? Call from area code 970. You walked away from your phone. Are you there still?
This is a
no, I think he left.
Okay.
He left. Okay, he's not there. Anybody else with any question? Carlos from area code 904 has more questions, Carlos. Okay, my friend. What would you like to know, Carlos? And what else? Carlos, you're back with us. What's your question, my friend? Call from area code 917, okay? 917.
Hello?
Area code caller. Yes, what's your name, ma'am?
My name is Melanie.
And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I heard about it when I was learning about common law. about a year ago or so, and then I relearned about it 2 days ago. I was reminded about it.
Curious, how did you get from common law to freedom law school, Melanie?
Well, someone else was introducing me to common law. I was learning about martial law and the flag, how, you know, when the flag has the yellow fringes, it means certain things. So I started learning about that, and I read the UCC connection, and then I found your page.
Very good. All right, how may I help you?
I have a question. So I have a part-time job, and I'm also self-employed. But, you know, I had been filling out my W-4, and they were taking out a lot. So in 2020, they took out the usual federal, state income, local income. And I'm wondering how to fill out my W-4 for this new employer so that they don't take out as much. So I was talking to Benny over the phone. I'm very thankful for his time. And I'm just wondering how to fill out any 1099s that I may be faced with for freelance work, like independent contracting work, and or this current W-4 that I already filled out as I recently started working there. So I'm really wondering just how to fill out for last year. I'm still waiting on my 1099s to come in. I was recommended to wait to make an extension on May 17 and then wait till I can ask for a transcript and then only file what's on the transcript. But I'm wondering from here on out how to fill out a W-4 1099 so that I'm not taking so much for the federal and all the other taxes.
Okay. 1099, you don't fill out at all. Somebody else, the company you work for, falsely, erroneously sends out a 1099 snitch form about you to the IRS. So we can, that's something you want to stop by educating them about. That's wrong. And then as Benny said on our website, okay, if you go there on the Income Tax Freedom tab on our website, you drop that mini Income Tax Freedom. There is one. The second one is free yourself from tax withholding. So you open that link, free yourself from tax withholding, and there just follow the instructions in there, sweetie. Melanie, I cannot go over this whole thing right now. I've done a video telling you how to do this right here, how to stop income tax withholding from your paycheck, which goes over the steps and instructions right here. Just follow that there. It's there for you for free.
Okay.
Yes. What, Benny? Oh, Benny's going to clarify your question for me. Yeah, what's the question, Benny?
She wants to file for last year.
Oh. Okay, you want to file for last year to get a substantial refund? Do you file every year, Melanie?
I didn't file in 2016, but then I started filing in 2017 and 18 and 19. It's like I learned, but I'm still learning how to unlearn what I knew. That makes sense. So it's like I'm sorry?
Why do you want to file a 1040 confession form now? You know, it's a confession form.
Well,
why do you want to file a 1040 confession form? There's no law requiring you to.
Right. I'm just wondering because I've already have money withheld from my W-4 job last year. That's the only reason why I want to file for 2020.
Well, I'm not. Well, if you want to just file, I guess if you want to do that, go to TurboTax, go to H&R Block. They'll do it for you. But I don't support that personally. I like people to be based on principle and let that go and focus on stopping the stealing now. Let the past be bygones. Focus your time, energy, and love on the present, here, forward. The past is gone. If you want to fall, I don't do that stuff. Go have, you know, somebody can do it for you. Online, it's easy to do. Just get the form of IRS, the 1040 form instructions, and follow it yourself if you want to do that. It's on IRS.gov website. Anything else?
Okay. Well, so that's one thing that I'm thinking about for the past. And now I'm thinking, if I don't do that, how do I go on for the future to resubmit this W-4 to my current employer? I've already filled it out non-exempt. So would I do the mailing to the Congress, my Congress people, and then filing an exempt form for my current employer if I'm not going to do 2020 but move forward?
You can do an exempt form under duress that forces you for the gun to your head that it will not pay you unless you fill one out. You can do that. It's on our website to do one that way, but you want to follow up with a letter to your congressman and a letter to your employer that, hey, there should be no W-4 form at all, exempt or otherwise. So you want to do that process. It's on the page I gave you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, all that details is there.
Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Melanie. Thanks for coming, calling. Thank you. Any other questions from anybody else? Area code 385 caller. All right, my friend. What is your first name, and how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
My name's Tammy, and I heard about you through, I think I ran across you on Facebook.
Okay. And how may I assist you, Tammy?
Well, I've been watching you for a while, and I've watched some of your videos, and I was learning some things from some other materials that I ran across probably about 6 months ago, and I filed my 1040 form for 2019 and 2020 before I ran across your information, and I got refund checks from the government, all the taxes that it had withheld mm-hmm. in 2019 and 2020 by redeeming unlawful money, which was okay. Something I had learned about. That there's two ways to redeem your money, either private or public credit.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm curious with what you're saying. I'm curious as to, was that the right thing to do? And also about how, and I also went back and filed a follow-up, what is that form, 1040X, trying to get the Social Security and Medicare tax. I thought, well, what the heck, why not? I got the federal back. Let me see if I can get the Medicare and Social Security tax that they withheld back. And I haven't heard back from that. That was only less than a month ago that I've tried that. So I'm just curious of what you know about redeeming unlawful money, because I haven't heard you mention that term, and that was a foreign term to me until like 6 months ago.
Okay. Redeeming lawful money is another, unfortunately, baseless legal theory out there. A wonderful freedom-loving here and they buy into it right away. There's nothing to it about that. Basically,
okay.
Gold and silver were the money in America from the time of the Constitution. Lincoln, during the war of aggression against the South, started printing greenbacks, nothing
mm-hmm.
back, money just printing. That's the one good thing he did, Lincoln. Everything else is evil. But he printed that, and as government can print money without having to borrow from the banks gold and silver at high interest rates. And
mm-hmm.
then the Supreme Court in 1860s upheld his ability for the government, federal government, to declare money anything they choose. Then in 1913, the Federal Reserve, privately owned, was created. In early 1933, they stole our gold by the illegal executive order of the traitor communist President Roosevelt. Then in 1965, another traitor communist, Johnson, stole our silver, and the Federal Reserve notes were used to be redeemable by gold and silver. They're no longer redeemable, and then they passed laws that you have to accept Federal Reserve notes in case someone owes you money. So if someone owes you money, you pay them, offer, tender, Federal Reserve notes, they have to accept it. So, yes, it's not backed by anything, but that's lawful money, according to the Supreme Court, unfortunately. Bottom line is money is actually your labor. Whether you produce, eggs or cows or corn or a plumber, whatever you do, your labor is real money. The allure of gold and silver made of a convenient, sought-after medium of exchange. But nowadays, the currency, even though it has no inherent value, but we, the freedom lovers, gave it value because we love its privacy. That's right. So now
right.
we use cryptocurrency. It's gone past stages of, in early 2010 years. It's well accepted now. And more people are using and investing in it. It's going to go only one way up. And we are getting around the Federal Reserve note law that says you have to take this as payment of debt. Fine. To pay the, we won't have any debts, but you want to buy something. The store owner says, give me crypto because it's going up. It will go up. So that's a baseless legal argument. I'm not sure what you got. So I need to see your paperwork, what kind of refund you got, the lawful money. I mean, it was money in your bank account, the Federal Reserve notes. So, but to give you a more accurate answer, Tammy, I have to see the paperwork. Any of you
right.
can email your most up to 10 pages of anything that you got, and I'll look at it for free of charge. If you go to our website under, the contact at our website, here it is. If you go at the bottom of the page, contact us. At the bottom of every page, here's the contact us page. So when you click on the contact, here not only has our contact information, you can email us with your questions, fill out your information here, and you can attach documents here up to 10 pages. You can send to Freedom Law School before the Freedom Hour at no charge. I will review them and go over them on these weekly Freedom Hours like this. So take advantage of it.
Okay.
And do that.
Okay.
And I can give you a more specific, accurate answer for you.
I have
okay.
one more question about, because I'm just trying to make sure I'm understanding the things that you're teaching. I love your talks, by the way. Income is not supposed to be taxed. It's really, so my understanding before I started this to you is that when we get taxed on our income, it's an indirect tax it's not a direct tax. It's an indirect tax because of using those Federal Reserve notes.
No,
but
that's not so.
No, that's not true.
Logically, but it's not so. Okay, if you go to the front page of our website, let me ask you, Tammy, have you gone to the front page of our website to watch this 9-minute video here? Here on the front page of our website, have you watched this?
I believe I have, and see everything that the things that you're teaching are kind of conflicting with what I thought I understood. So I'm trying to cipher through things and try to understand correctly because I feel like, okay, maybe I was taught something wrong, and I just want to make sure because the way you're teaching about the states and the United States not being, the 50. The 50 states, but just D.C., that makes sense. But it's still kind of like I'm trying to just make sense of it all because there's a lot of, information out there that's not correct. And I heard your talk about Wesley Snipes and the sovereign citizens, all that misinformation that's out there. So it's all very interesting. I'm just trying to make sense of it all.
Okay. Look, Tammy, I understand where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, when I started in 1992, I also started with baseless legal theories, patron mythologies. Mm-hmm. Just like I paid $1,500 to a group called the Pilot Connection Society to get their unpacking. That was $1,500 of 1992 money. in today's money was probably around, I don't know, $7,000-$8,000, right?
Right.
Then about 7 months later, I paid $800 to a guy named Richard McDonald and got his package to become a state citizen, not a U.S. citizen as created by the 14th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I, like Melanie, got an audio tape and paperwork of a UCC connection by Howard Freeman. That says that's the solution. You know. So wait a minute. The Power Connection Society was about the adhesion contract theory. He says that your bank signature card is your ticket into the corrupt system. You got to cancel and get out. Office of the citizenship guy said, the thing is you have to file in the county recorder of office your declaration that you're no longer a U.S. but active state citizen.
Right.
UCC, I've heard Power Freedom says, sign things, UCC 1-207, reserving your rights. That's the way, the key to freedom. I heard another guy says, you just write things sui juris, which means I have no contracts with anybody else. That limits my freedoms. Other people talk about, like for example, Howard Freeman said that through UCC, we get out of this Admiralty or French flag jurisdiction into the backfield under common law. Which one is it?
Mm-hmm.
Which one of these religions is the true path?
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, all false. They're all baseless. You got to check the underlying assumption that Uniform Commercial Code has anything to do with your freedoms. It does not. It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Show me. You know, I joke around with that when I go to supermarkets sometimes. I joke with the clerks and say, they ask me, yeah, did you find everything okay? I joke around and say, well, I couldn't find any chicken milk. Or I couldn't find any cow eggs. And sometimes they fall for it. They're busy. Oh, do you have any chicken milk? Do you have any cow eggs? No, really, I have happens sometimes. Well, you can just don't believe people, whatever they tell you on the internet. But people do that. This presumption that, you know, there's a sovereign citizen versus U.S. citizen is all utter baseless stuff. You gotta say, prove it before I believe you. Prove it. Show me that it actually is so. Look, Tammy, government is based upon force. Lincoln do the South by force completely illegally. They enslaved, they took the land of the Indians by force. Black people were brought to America and white people too as slaves by force. We freed ourselves with a revolution from England by force. Okay? That is adhesion contracts and status and revocation, all that stuff you hear. It's force. Okay? The government does what it does because they got the force. They cheated in the election because they had the force to do it. Okay? The courts were corrupt. They do the job. Okay? So... It's not because, you know, they somehow got you into this, you know, commercial law type of thing or whatever, or straw man, or you name it, all capital letters, or the yellow French flag hanging off in the courtroom. This is not so.
Mm-hmm.
Same as you in the jungle with a 250-pound, 6'3", muscular man want to take advantage of you. And you say, I'm sorry, I'm not that kind of a girl. Well, Tammy, I'm going to do it anyhow. It's up to you. Well, you have no lawful jurisdiction. I hold no contract with you. I'm a sovereign. I got my straw man. I'm under common law. Not statutory, admiralty, or fin fang, and blah, 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 blah. You cannot do that to me lawfully.
And they say, I don't care.
But I got, yeah, exactly. That's government.
Yeah.
Government constitution is where it starts. That's the framework of the government operation, which is trying to expand and get out of the right laws underneath that framework. And all I'm doing is saying, look, you're breaking your own constitution. your laws are published by the, your own legislature, and what has said. Even the IRS's regulations agree with me, the Treasury regulations. It's your own rules. Follow them. That's what freedom of law does. And that's why it works. That's why they cannot put me in prison like Urban Schiff, Wesley Snipes, all those other guys that come and gone. That's why freedom of law is the longest running, most successful tax freedom ever. Ever in the history of the movement going back to World War II. Because I'm the only one that has followed the law as it's written on rule on to impose on them. So I started getting to real law back in 1994 after 2 years of wallowing around. So congratulations, Tammy. You've been, well, you got this stuff quicker than 2 years to freedom law school to straighten you. Good for you. Most people start with patriot mythology, and that's my biggest challenge, is to get to meet people before they fall for patriot mythology, like you heard a caller from California, Erica 31 for Erica Guy, straw man. Remember, Guy? He asked me a question. Straw man. Baseless straw man theory, and they raped him. You have to go back to his state. Okay, and now what we can do is probably get him out. So I give examples of examples.
No, I just think, everybody's so afraid right now because it just appears like the Congress and people in the House, they don't even follow, they're not even following the laws. They're just running right over top of them, like the legislators, and they're just doing their own thing, and they're breaking the laws, and then going, you know, people are going to the Supreme Court and they're not even hearing the case, and it just seems like they just keep getting away with it, and they're just emboldened now and they feel like they're untouchable. And I just worry that not worry, but just, you know, the way things are going, it just seems like they can do whatever they want to do, put people in prison for nothing.
No, not quite like that. Where I came from, Iran, in 1960s, 70s, the Shah, the king, was in power. They could kidnap you, whatever they wanted you, put you in jail with notifying nobody as long as they want you, torture you, summary trial, no trial, execution. You have no right to speech. If you criticize the king, the government, you could go to jail just for that, what I just told you. Okay? America's not like that. That's why I'm exercising our First Amendment right to free speech, association, press, assembly, and for petitioning the government for redress of our grievances, getting out there. And they know that they can violate my or your First Amendment rights. You know, that's why they don't come after me, okay? That's why they don't want to lose. They already lost to me in court many times. Every time they come after me, just about every time, they're lost, okay? They beat me, you know, one time, and I beat them, you know, and they went away. But most often, I beat them. So they don't want to give me more exposure by attacking me and winning again against them. So you can see, look, you've seen our victories at our website. You just got, it's there. So all you got to do is you go to our victories. You see that, you know, you could do the same thing. Are my victories and personal victories, as well as our student victories. This is documentation. This is proof. Many of our students, each of these is a case, okay, that, you know, documentation, click on this stuff, that we beat this stuff. It's not just my word. This is a proof of what I'm saying, okay? And if you go here, my stuff is proof. Look, they came after me for $700,000 they assessed in me of taxes, lien me for 11 years of taxes in December 2009, and I had them removed by November 2011. Now, how many of these websites you've been following, how many guys have had this kind of documented success?
None. Okay. All I've seen is like $5,000 fines that have been gone to zero, which is, that's a little bit of success, but I think, you know, I've been sending people to your information because it's, you know, we're so brainwashed, and I feel like, you know, everybody's so fearful of having a target on their back of being considered a tax protester, quote unquote. But, you know, just that proof, what you just said right there, like if that's, those are big numbers that a lot of us, I don't think will come close to, hopefully we will, but can win in court with that, those big numbers, then that makes me have a little bit of ease in mind.
So I tell you, the video I did last week on our Freedom Hour, it's one of my new favorite ones. Which is let me show it to you on the videos. The one IRS is mostly bluff. Call the bluff and be free. Okay.
Subtitle.
Right.
It's really a good one. I really like. Now I put this cartoon of Hopper from the A Bug's Life.
I love that. This. I saw that.
Yeah,
one.
You saw that one.
I love that.
You
yeah,
saw Hopper.
That.
Huh?
That was great. Yeah,
okay,
I love that.
Great. Share that
I
with people. You know, it'll be watch this. It'll make them laugh.
I put it on TikTok, actually. I found the video and made two little TikTok videos, and people loved it. So.
Oh, hey, guys, remember, we got to do it about the IRS. We're going to do something like a TikTok video. We're the ants. They're the grasshoppers. Let's overrun them. LiveFreeNow.org to be free IRS grasshoppers.
It's not about food. It's about keeping them in line. I love that line.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. You got it. Okay, Sammy. Anything else before
Thank
I...
Thank you so much.
You want to call this guy? Okay, Carlos, another gentleman has a question. So, Tammy, thank you for calling and all your kind words of support. I appreciate that. Let me see what Carlos wants to know from North Carolina. Okay, Carlos, what else is on your mind, my friend? Carlos, are you there? Okay, he's not there. What's the next caller we have? We'll say it again. 970 with a prefix of 4. These guys all come from North Carolina calling. Fantastic. 970 with the number 4 on your prefix starting. What is your first name, and how did you hear about Freedom Law School? I guess he's not there either. All right, then. Well, folks, thank you for your love and support. You were meant to be free. You got here. Because you were looking for freedom, and you found freedom by the journey. It doesn't stop here. You need to continue on this path of educating yourself. You continue doing that, I promise you, you will be free. But do everybody a favor. Share your love of truth with everybody now. Before the May 17th tax filing deadline, folks. People still haven't filed 1040 income tax confession forms, some people. Right? Still the option. They don't have to be a slave. Send them to the front page of Freedom Law School's website. Right there, text it to them, say, watch this 9-minute video. And then what you do next day, you follow up. Did you watch? Do you listen to it on your drive home or to work, to or from work? Listen to it and then watch it home, and give them a chance to go from there. And I would love to pay each of you up to $4,500 cash for freeing each of these slaves of the IRS to freedom, lawfully and safely. So, I urge you, invite you, my friend, to have fun in the process. You can also get these flyers that we have that says there's no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. You can download it on our website, I think we put it, let's see, here we go, under Education Materials tab. When you go down to questions to ask your tax preparer, right, guys? Yeah. How much are you giving to the IRS? Sorry. Go under Education Materials to how much are you giving the IRS. Okay, and you open that tab. First, what it does, it has this flyer of this also is there, chart showing how much people are giving away to the IRS, okay? Single self-employed, single employee, married, self-employed, married employee. Look at this married employee couple. For example, with $80,000 a year income, paying over $12,000 to the IRS. They're just all there. Now, and then the flyer for this, which you just saw, is here. You can click on this and give that to people, okay? Now, the other one that I just showed you on the screen is here below in this other PDF, okay? Print it out, give it to your friends, pass it on to them, okay? And just spread the love of truth and prosperity and joy to everybody you know. So with that, thank you for being with me tonight, and I look forward to being with you again next Thursday night with another edition of Freedom Law School's recording of our Freedom Hour.